I want to quote good Pastor Wood for just a minute here at the beginning of the sermon, as he shared with a number of people in his both preaching, teaching, counseling ministry, some themes that I think fit well at Christmas. One was, always remember, God loves you, and with great intensity. Of course, he would say that, and to the extent that it was people would be open, they would hear and be impacted. And number two, God is with you. We see that in Jesus, in his name, Emmanuel. God is with you. God loves you. God is with you. And then God is for you. So he's doing things on your behalf. And you can see that message impact the shepherds in their response to the good news. Who loved shepherds in those days? Not too many people. You know, maybe not even loving each other very much. But they got the message. The good news of great joy was for them. God was for them. They were loved by God to be able to hear about this Savior. And then God would be with them. And they would actually go and have their life changed. Before the day was over, they were spreading the word and they were praising God. So quite a change that came upon the shepherds, and we can know in our own souls as we think Jesus is born. Hey, God does love me. God is with me, and God is for me. And so I heard one preacher say the other day, just something that may be of help to you. He said, you should allow God to be for you, and by receiving the Lord, be for yourself. Okay, don't be against yourself to drag yourself down, but be for what God will do in your life, not in an ego manner, but in a mercy manner. And this morning, I just focus briefly with you on one of those motivations, God's love for you. God loves you as the main motivation for God sending Jesus. I think love is a theme. You get the love of God from Genesis to Revelation. And I hit on it last night for about 2 minutes. But God reveals his heart for people at the birth of Jesus. And it impacts us in terms of a change of mind, change of heart, change of soul, change of strength. It gives us that ability to walk in that commandment. You know, love, am I going to love God back with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? Because all those areas of my life are impacted by who he is and the truth that he loves me. Okay, so mind, soul, heart, and strength, his love impacting us. And the motivation, God so loved the world. God so loved you and the people around you who are in your sphere of love. Love was at Bethlehem. Love was at Calvary. Love was at the resurrection. Love was at Pentecost. And we are to love Jesus appearing in terms of his second coming. So there's this back and forth relationship. God's heart to us, our heart back to God. Mind, soul, heart, and strength. 1 Corinthians 13 teaches us that when it comes to spiritual gifts, or really the strength of things that happen, the greatest of these is love. So don't underestimate the love of God at Christmas. That is his love for people. Apostle John writes about Jesus being sent into the world in his first letter. It's like his mini nativity story in chapter 4. He says, this is love. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he first loved us. And sent his son, Bethlehem, sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins, Calvary. Send his son, Bethlehem, as an atoning sacrifice, Calvary, for our sins. So, the love of God from the cradle to the cross and the resurrection. James Kennedy, he was a PhD preacher guy who, he was very effective in loving folks toward the Lord, sharing the gospel. He taught, I don't know how accurate it is, but we'll give him the credit if it's right or wrong, that the swaddling clothes that Jesus was wrapped in were the same kind of material that he'd be wrapped in temporarily in the tomb. Okay, just born to give his life, protected at the beginning, not held back at the end in the swaddling clothes that God would provide. And love on a mission. I think God's love for people, when I hear the gospel presented, or when believers follow Jesus, God's love for people is often the missing truth, not expressed clearly enough in the presentation of Christ and following Him. And the loveless world needs to know that God loves them. And the wayward Christian needs to know that God loves them. Many parables of Jesus point to that. The stray sheep, the lost coin, the rebellious brothers in there. God's love. Love is certainly the predominant theme of the Bible and intertwined with everything about salvation. In the Old Testament, there's a phrase in many of the better translations called steadfast love. The steadfast love of God is from everlasting to everlasting. You can see it just in the celebration of Christmas even. There's something steadfast about that. News of Christ. Stronger than any power to hold Him back then or now. His steadfast love is from everlasting to everlasting. Old Testament verse. Phrase, steadfast love, can be translated mercy, love, or steadfast love. Mentioned 248 times in the Old Testament. God wants us to know. Covenant faithful love from God to us carries with it the idea of God's embrace of the lost sinner. Jesus comes to say, let me give you salvation. Let me give you myself. And it's powerful and life-changing. And there's nothing you and I can do to make God love us more. What a great assurance. Nothing we can do to make God love us less. Oh, you haven't talked to me for 6 months. You haven't talked to me from heart to heart for a year or maybe your whole life. But there's nothing you could do to make me love you less. I sent my Son. He died for each sin. And he's knocking at the door for salvation and fellowship. And 100% intensity that the Lord has for us. David Jeremiah has, I think, one of his real good books that weren't, ironically, was not a big seller, was God Loves You, He Always Has and He Always Will. He has these chapters with great titles. He says, God's love is unending, unlimited, unchanging, unconditional. Think about those qualities. It's something I think a human heart looks for. God's love, unending. It's going to be around forever. Unlimited. Unchanging. Reliable. Unconditional. A person said, who was frustrated about religion and people's love, which is going to be limited being human. I don't need no love that changes and it's conditional and it's weak. I don't need that kind of love. Right? Do you need that kind of love that's conditional, that's weak, that's undependable, that you don't know if it's going to be there or not? You say, you don't need that kind of love. Who needs that kind of love? God says, my love is different. Unconditional, unchanging, unlimited, strong, steadfast, not weak, and the great love of Jesus. What a Lord He is. God's love is one of His eternal absolutes, stronger than the law of gravity. God's love existed before gravity existed. God's love was there before gravity was put into place or creation was made. Jeremiah 31, God tells us personally, I've loved you with an everlasting love. I like that everlasting thing. You think about you have to let it impact your mind, soul, heart, and strength. The truth, God will be loving you for the next trillion centuries. Okay? you reject that love, his love and justice would even put you where you want to be, away from him. But his love would rather, Jesus said, I'd rather have you come and be near me, like a hen with the little ones. He'll be loving us for the next trillion centuries. And who knows, because we don't know what the past time has been. He's loved us in the trillion centuries before 2016. Trillion centuries in the past, God says, I have a plan to help these dear ones who are going to go astray in every possible way. His love was there in eternity past, from everlasting to everlasting, revealed through his Son. And what a plan of salvation. The great love of God. Don't underestimate that. Embrace that in your soul. Help Jesus as the greatest expression of God's love, and at the cross, change your ways of loving others. J.I. Packer reminds us that God's love is not at all just roses and bright yellow smiley faces. Although I always like the bright yellow smiley face more than the terrible lime green Mr. Yuck sticker. Okay? I like the smile God loves you thing a little better than the don't touch this, this is nasty message. Both is needed, but the other one seemed to change my life more. Okay, so Packer writes this, God's love for me is utterly realistic. He has prior knowledge of me at my most sinful. Saw the shepherds, Mary and Joseph, and their wavering trust. God has already seen my sin. He died for it. He paid for it. He's already seen my sin. He died for it. He paid for it. There's no discovery of sin today that can disillusion God about me in the way I'm so often disillusioned about myself. My sin will not stop God's determination to bless me. Isn't that a great love? He's always offering himself to us. The old song says, O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. And if you know that there are people who are so successful and great, and they've confessed, I'd give it all away if I could just find one person to love me just for me. How come they feel that way? It's evidence that God has made their hearts for himself. They could say, yeah, there's one who loves me like that, and his name is Jesus. So God's love does not depend on our perfection, achievements, or obedience, although obedience is the only way that faith knows how to respond well. And the shepherds, you know, they bear evidence to that. The love of God in the best Christian is going to waver. That's an important thing, but it's going to waver. It's going to be hot, cold, lukewarm, and inconsistent at times. We don't rejoice in that. We grieve about that. But this is a part of life. And we want to be not let our zeal flag or waver. But because our love for God is weak, that's why we still need the cross, forgiveness, mercy, and grace. And we need to know God loves us. He's with us. He's for us. So our hope, when you think about the future, please, part of the Christmas message, our hope in life and death is not found in the intensity of our love for God. Really wasn't in the intensity of Mary and Joseph, shepherds, wise men, love for God. It was in God's intense love for them where salvation would be found. And so you, as you walk with the Lord, you know your salvation based on God's love for you. And you learn how to love him back and other people. And what a walk of faith it is. In closing, think about achievements that are very important, and we're thankful for them. Henry Blackaby had a comment in his book years ago, Knowing and Doing the Will of God, that changed me. He talked about being loved by God as the most impactful thing he's ever experienced. And he connected to achievements, so I use this illustration. Just let's imagine you became president of the United States if you had that calling or ambition. And at the same time, before being president of the United States, you were coach of the last 10 Super Bowl champions. Okay? That'll be exciting for some of you. Some of you are like, who needs that? But there are people who attain to that. You got the Bill Belichick, you know. Isn't he a pleasant chap? You know, for all his success. The poor guy hasn't smiled in the last 10 years. Okay. So anyway, here's a successful guy. He's miserable in his success. But you could be president and the 10 Super Bowl champions. You could be chairman of the Mensa Club. That's somebody who's really smart. A couple of you were in that club. And you could be you could have the things of giftedness that are just fantastic. And yet, with all those achievements, again, you'd say, compared to being loved by God, they're just a praise to Him. Being loved by God is so much better. It's such a greater achievement. And to boot, it's an achievement of God. Given as a gift. And so God did it on our behalf. And God offers Jesus to each of us as a gift. So as you go as a Christian and celebrate the love of God, the birth of Jesus, ask God to show you He loves you. Heart, impact the heart. Impact the soul at your personality. Impact the mind, the way you think. Impact your strength, ability to keep living with some kind of gladness and gratefulness to God. And, His love will always take us back to Him. And even to Bethlehem, even to Calvary, even to Pentecost, even to the second coming, even to eternity with God. Oh, He so loves you today. And rest in that. And let's pray together. Lord, thank You for Your motivation in sending Jesus, not to just point out every sin we had. You did some of that, but You reveal that as we go, Lord. But You came not to condemn, but to save. We know there's the justice and wrath of God that You were intent on not expressing to its fullness, but rather having mercy offered first. So we say, we're glad for mercy and love and grace, forgiveness, the cross, and Jesus. So we hide in You today, and we pass on, Lord, with heart, soul, mind, and strength, the love we've received in Jesus, our Savior. Might each one here know and feel and be changed by Your love as we march with You one day closer to heaven, one Christmas closer to heaven, where we'll still be glad for the story of salvation. In Your name we pray. Amen.